Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, we have a lot of territory to cover, so I want to go as quickly as possible because I don't want this to be a very long program. First of all, I apologize that the program is running late. I'm beginning the recording of this program after midnight on Sunday night because there was just so many things that I had to do today, I could not get to the program. But first of all, let's start off by speaking about some of the news that we have to comment on. 18 Israeli Jewish soldiers have been unnecessarily murdered so far in the Gaza operation. Why have they been murdered unnecessarily? Because if Israel would just bomb Gaza the way the United States bombed Iraq before the 1990 Persian Gulf War, or the way the United States bombed Afghanistan in 2001, or the way the United States bombed Iraq in the second Iraq War in 2003, if Israel would just do the same level of bombing that the United States did against America's enemies in Gaza, that would cause complete panic. And the vast majority of residents in Gaza would want to flee, and it would be chaotic and disastrous for the Hamas terrorists. So number one, Israel should have been vigorously, relentlessly bombing Gaza the same way the Americans bomb their enemies before the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Second, even during the war, crazy Israel and the disgusting Israeli government continues to provide something that no other nation ever provides their enemies in time of war. Ever. Israel gives the Muslim terrorists of Hamas and their supporters in Gaza free electricity, free water, free gas, free medicine, free education, free housing, and billions of dollars in aid. Without all these freebies, all of these handouts coming from the insane Israeli government, the Arabs in Gaza would be literally starving. And the vast majority would desperately want to leave. Most want to leave even with all these freebies, because even with all these freebies, Gaza is a hellhole. But if they didn't have the free electricity, free water, free food, free gas, free medicine, billions of dollars in aid, if they didn't have that, there would be absolute starvation. They desperately would want to leave. And then if Israel would arrange their leaving, the overwhelming majority of Arabs living there would leave. And a tremendous problem, a tremendous security problem, and a tremendous demographic problem would be solved for Israel and the Jewish people. And then Israel could easily go in and mop up and destroy the Muslim terrorists and whatever is left in Gaza. Easily. So this is a problem that can be solved. But of course, the governments that we have in Israel, whether from the Likud or the other parties, will never, never do these necessary things. Only we will do the necessary things. Only we will ignore Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry and the UN and the European Union, who are all against Israel anyway. They're all pressuring and condemning Israel anyway. Israel gets nothing beneficial out of caving in to the blackmail and pressure from Obama and Kerry and the UN and the European Union. We would create an Israel that would be economically and militarily independent. We would create an Israel with a free market economy and unleash Jewish brain power and Jewish technological power. we would create an Israel that would finally restore security, true security to the people of Israel. And the overwhelming majority of Arabs living in the land of Israel would want to leave. Would want to leave. By the way, we've shown you polls. We've done videos and we've shown polls. A recent poll done just a couple of weeks ago showed that 70% of the Arabs in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem want to leave. 70%, this is an Arab poll. In Gaza, if it's 70% in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, in Gaza it's at least 80%. And in fact, a poll taken in Gaza several years ago showed that 80% want to leave. Can you imagine how much easier life would be for the Jews in Israel if 80% of the Arabs in Gaza left? How much easier it would be to manage that situation? And those people are saying that in that poll without being offered compensation. For those who remain, we would offer them compensation to leave. We'd get the other 20%. Most of the other 20% would leave also. We'd offer them compensation to get out also. And they would take it. You might wonder if 70% in Judea and Samaria, 80% in Gaza, so many Arabs want to leave and they're so hostile to the Jewish state, why doesn't Israel offer them a chance to leave? Why doesn't Israel help them leave? Why doesn't Israel come up with a creative program to solve this massive demographic and security problem that they have, this ticking time bomb? And if you're asking that question, then you really are asking why is Israel run by Jews who, when it comes to their own survival, are insane. When it comes to their own survival, they're insane. There's no other word to describe it. So, number one, we have this terrible situation. And so I did a video today, the second video I did in less than 24 hours, the second Hebrew video I did in less than 24 hours. And that's why I was late with doing the Ask JTF show. But I did another Hebrew video today dealing with this issue because we have to keep speaking up. We have to keep giving the truth to the people of Israel. Let them know that there are voices of sanity out there. Let them know there is an alternative. Let them know that if we ever take power, the sensible, logical policies that many Israeli Jews privately, intuitively understand should be carried out, these sensible policies will be carried out if we're ever in power. And therefore, it's worthwhile for the Jews of Israel to join our movement and to help us. And until we take power, we're going to be a force to pressure Israeli leaders and Israeli governments to do the right thing, which is also vitally important. So, we did a video. And, you know, our videos get tens of thousands of views now because of our Big Hebrew Facebook page, Baruch Hashem, thank God. And we're trying to wake the people of Israel up on this issue. Because those 18 Israeli Jewish soldiers were killed unnecessarily. And what are they fighting for? They're fighting for another ceasefire with the Hamas Muslim terrorists. They're not fighting for victory. Netanyahu and his government, the Netanyahu, Yalon, Lieberman, Bennett, Lapid regime, do not want to win. They have no intention of winning. They're just fighting for another ceasefire so that the Hamas terrorists could get stronger and stronger and then begin a new round again in the near future. And the situation gets worse and worse. And so Jewish soldiers are being murdered in vain. All of the terrible tragedies and all of the firing of missiles and all the disruption to the Israeli economy and the Israeli way of life all this time, all of it was in vain. Nothing will be accomplished except another ceasefire with the same Muslim terrorists who will still be in power. That is not just not winning, that's losing. Israel is losing. Because their leaders are losers, and their country can never win when their leaders are losers. There's a second thing I want to speak to our great JTFers about. You remember Mohammed Abu Khadir? That's the Arab who was killed allegedly in retaliation or as vengeance for the murder of the three kidnapped Jewish teenagers by the Hamas terrorists. Allegedly, Jews decided to avenge the murder of the three kidnapped Jewish teenagers, and allegedly they kidnapped and killed Mohammed Abu Khadir. We still don't know if that's really true. It could have been other Arabs that killed him. Anything could have happened. And if Israeli Jews did kill him, even if that is true, though, we want the Jews of Israel to know who Mohammed Abu Khadir really was. We wanted them to know that, and so we were the only ones who did a video showing him, giving the three-finger salute. The three-finger salute stands for the three kidnapped, murdered Jewish teenagers. This is what they did throughout the Arab world, throughout the Muslim world, to laugh at the murder, the brutal, barbaric murder of three Jewish teenagers who were kidnapped. And Mohammed Abu Khadir was one of the people laughing at their murder with and giving the signal, the three-finger signal. And we showed a video of this. And we were the only ones to expose this. So tens of thousands of Jews in Israel at least know now that Mohammed Abu Khadir was anything but some innocent Arab who wanted peace. He was laughing at the murder of the truly innocent people. The truly innocent people are those Jewish teenagers who were kidnapped by Muslim terrorists, and Mohammed Abu Khadir supported those Muslim terrorists. Even George W. Bush said, if you support the terrorists, you are a terrorist. That's what George W. Bush said after 9/11. So even by George W. Bush's standard, and George W. Bush is with the establishment, even by his standard, that means Mohammed Abu Khadir is a terrorist and his family are terrorists because his family also support the terrorists. But now something very interesting has happened. Members of Mohammed Abu Khadir's family are going on our English Facebook page, our English language Facebook page, which of course is much smaller than the Hebrew Facebook page. We're going to give you the stats. Wait till you see the wonderful stats we have on the Hebrew page. But even our English language page is making waves. Hassan Abu Khadir, the cousin of Mohammed Abu Khadir, came on our English language Facebook page, his posts are still there, and started threatening the Jewish people, threatening Israel, making all types of anti-Semitic remarks, laughing at the murder of Jews, laughing at Jews mourning, and laughing at Jewish soldiers being murdered. He uploaded a picture, he showed a picture of Jewish soldiers at a funeral crying and laughed at them and said, look what cowards they are. That's the cousin of Mohammed Abu Khadir. So his family is continuing to give us the three-finger salute. They're continuing to laugh at the murder of Jews and show that they want the destruction of the Jewish people in Israel. But you know what's interesting? Out of all the thousands of Israeli and Jewish Facebook pages, there are thousands of Israeli and Jewish Facebook pages, many of them much larger than our English Facebook page. His family chose our page to come and curse and threaten the Jewish people and threaten Israel and threaten me personally. His family chose to do it to JTF, to our page. Out of all the thousands of pages they could have gone to. You know why? Because we tell the truth. They know that we tell the truth, that JTF tells the truth. They don't find the truth on the other pages, but with us they find the truth, and the truth frightens Muslim terrorists and their supporters. The truth frightens them. When JTF speaks, the enemies of the Jewish people listen. It just gives you an indication of how important this movement is. Remember, that incident has probably sparked this war. The war would have occurred eventually, but that incident was the spark that eventually led to this war. And here we are. Our underfunded movement, our underfunded humble movement, in the middle of the whole thing with members of his family coming to our Facebook page and cursing at us and threatening us. And our English language Facebook page has only 1,550 likes. Likes are, in effect, members. We have 1,550 likes. Okay, that's up from last week. Last week it was 1,400-something, so it's growing. Our English Facebook page is growing. But still, 1,550 likes compared to other pages. There are other pages on Facebook that are much larger, other Jewish and Israeli pages that are much larger. Yet our English language Facebook page is what the Arab Muslim terrorists and their supporters are bothered by. And I don't blame them. They're right. Because they know that if we ever get to first base, they're finished. They know that. They know that we will finish the job. We will end their terrorist campaign against the Jewish people once and for all. They know that when we say something, we mean it. That's why when JTF speaks, enemies of the Jewish people listen. And you know, there's another development this week. I told you there was going to be a lot to speak about. The murder, of course, of the 18 Jewish soldiers in vain is the first thing we spoke about. The second thing is Mohammed Abu Khadir's family now coming to our Facebook page and threatening us and cursing us. And by the way, when his cousin, I should have mentioned, when his cousin Hassan Abu Khadir made these threats and starts cursing the Jewish people and laughing at Jewish soldiers being murdered and laughing at Jews being murdered, the other members of his family, the whole Abu Khadir family, the other members of his family came on and liked the posts, liked his posts. Those posts are still up there if you want to go to the English Facebook page to see them. They liked his posts. And we put up, by the way, we have a post that we put up showing at least two of the things that he uploaded. And I think I should upload a post also on the forum. But we have one on our Facebook page if you want to see it. His whole family has come on there now and joined in cursing us and cursing the Jewish people and cursing Israel and cursing Chaim ben Pesach in particular. His whole family has joined in now. That's the second thing we spoke about. Now the third subject this week involves the new English videos we're doing. Because there's a lot more activity on the English Facebook page. There's a lot more action on that page now. And an opportunity for our English language movement to grow as well. And another one of the really positive developments is that Shlomo, our great English forum admin, and I are now doing videos with dialogue. Now the two of us are doing dialogue videos. And I just uploaded another one earlier tonight, a second one. People love the first one. And this is very popular, that we have a dialogue now where we speak back and forth. So I'm hoping that this will continue to grow our English movement. It has been leading to growth on our English Facebook page, and I think it seems to be helping our movement and giving our movement a boost, Baruch Hashem, thank God. So that's the third thing I wanted to mention to you, because it's a positive development. And the fourth thing, of course, I want to go over the stats, because I think you're going to like what you're going to hear. On the Hebrew Facebook page, or at the English Facebook page, we already said we went from 1,400 and something to, the last time I looked, it was 1,550 this past week. So even on the English page where we're not advertising, we had a jump of about 100 more likes. I think it was something like 100 more likes. And a major increase in activity. Many more people active on the page. You know, there's something called speaking about this. Hundreds, I think 564 people last time I checked were speaking about the page. That means they're actively doing something on the page on a regular basis during the course of the week. We used to have much less than that. We used to have like 20 or 30 people until recently who were speaking about the English Facebook page. Now it's over 560 or over 500. I don't remember exactly. So the English Facebook page is definitely getting a boost. Baruch Hashem, thank God. But the Hebrew Facebook page, you know, we started our advertising campaign in March of this year, March of 2014. It's a little bit over 4 months. It's been just slightly more than 4 months since we started advertising our Hebrew Facebook page. And, you know, many people do advertising campaigns, and a lot of the advertising campaigns fail. Many of the advertising campaigns fail. Very few of them have the type of growth rate that we've had in a four-month period. Because in March of this year, we had 1,830 likes on our Hebrew Facebook page, 1,830 members. We now have, the last time I checked, 20,526 likes. We went from 1,830 to 20,526. That's quite a growth rate. It's amazing. Now, of course, one of the reasons is because of everything that happened with the kidnapping of the three innocent Jewish teenagers, and then of course, the war and the firing of missiles into Israeli cities. Obviously, that is going to increase support for a movement like ours, because many Israeli Jews know that we've been telling the truth and that we've been offering solutions about this and we've been warning about this for many years. We, of course, were warning way before the expulsion of the Jews in Gush Katif. Gush Katif in Gaza. 10,000 Jews were expelled from their homes. We warned that if you expel the Jews from Gush Katif, if you expel the Jews from Gaza, and if you hand Gaza over to the Muslim Nazi terrorists, that they are going to fire rockets and missiles into every city in Israel. We warned this was going to happen. Everybody ridiculed us. We warned it was going to happen not only before the Gush Katif expulsion, but even before Oslo, because they first handed over most of Gaza to the Muslim terrorists during the Oslo agreements. And we warned in those days, in the 1990s, we had television programs in the United States and we were warning this was going to happen. So we've been warning for a long time. Obviously, a movement like ours that has been sounding the warning for so long is going to get more support when everything that we said is coming true. But still, I think you'll agree that if I had told you 4 months ago we were going to jump from 1,830 members to 20,526 members, that would have been surprising. That would have surprised us. It surprised me. I didn't expect this type of growth. I didn't expect us to come even close to this. And so we have a real chance now. We have a real chance now to change history. Everything we dreamed of all these years, we have a real shot, a real opportunity now. If we can increase this 20,000 plus membership on the Hebrew Facebook page to 50,000 and eventually 100,000, we can become a mass movement, God willing. If we become a mass movement, imagine what that will do. Imagine how that will change public opinion in Israel. Imagine the pressure that will put on the self-hating Jewish leaders of Israel. These wimpy, self-hating, pathetic so-called leaders in Israel. And of course, it eventually will lead, eventually, someday, to our taking power in Israel. Someday that will happen, God willing. So we have a real chance now. Finally, we have a real chance. You see it every week. You see the growth. You see the progress. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Help us. Help us at this critical time. There are four things you can do to help us. Number one, we need your prayers. Prayers make a difference. Please pray for our success and pray for the safety of Jewish soldiers in this war, and for the safety of the Jewish people in Israel, and for the redemption of the Jews of Israel, and for the redemption of righteous Gentiles. Please pray. We need your prayers. Pray for the success of our movement, because the success of our movement will mean the success of Israel and the Jewish people, will lead to the redemption of Israel and the Jewish people. Secondly, when you see us putting up Hebrew and English videos, when you see us putting up the videos either on our Facebook pages or on our forum, in the general discussion section, like and comment and share those videos, whether they're in Hebrew and English, like, comment and share those videos on Facebook. And like, favorite, comment, and mirror those videos on YouTube. It gives us a boost in the Facebook and YouTube and Google search engines. That's the second thing you can do. Help us with the videos. The third thing you can do, help us with great posts, with good posts on the forums and on the Facebook pages. That will attract more people to our movement, and people have been putting up better posts and good posts. And I thank all the wonderful people that have done that. And the fourth and most important thing, of course, our biggest handicap has always been financial. The fact that we have such a pitiful budget, we who can accomplish so much, we who tell a truth that no one else is willing to tell, and we have the most pitiful budget, we have the most meager of budgets, we should have the biggest budget. But unfortunately we don't. We need all the help we can get. Every check, every money order, every cash donation helps us reach more Israeli Jews with our message, with the truth, helps us wake up more people. Obviously that's important. Obviously that makes a difference. Obviously that's the only thing that gives us a chance. So there is nothing more important than this cause. Your money, your financial support is going directly toward waking the people of Israel up and saving the people of Israel from their own insane leaders and from their own insanity as well. And so, and we've already proven that when we do get our message out there, it sells. A lot of people think that what we're saying makes sense. So if we just reach enough people with the message on a regular basis, as we've always said all along, we can change history. We can do it. But we need your help. Everybody's got to chip in and help as much as possible. And if you, instead of sending checks, money orders, and cash donations to the post office box, if you prefer doing it online, of course you can go to our donate button on the Hebrew main page, on our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. On hayamin.org, on top, there's a donate button in English. Donate is in English. You click on the donate button in English on top, and in several minutes you can conveniently, through PayPal, make a donation. It doesn't matter if we get the donation online, doesn't matter if we get the donation through the post office box with checks or money orders or cash, doesn't matter. All of it is the same. All of it does the same good. Whatever is convenient for you. But please help. Okay, I think that's actually, organizationally, we have pretty encouraging news, as we have had now for the past 4 months. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Let's go now to our questions from our great JTFers, and we start out with the great Yamach Shmoda Jobnik, who writes, and I quote, 1. Curse Pat Buchanan's pal and self-proclaimed anti-Semite, Taki Theodor Akopoulos. Is he Pat's mistress, playboy, unquote? Well, he certainly is an anti-Semite, a vicious anti-Semite, as is the Nazi Pat Buchanan. He's also a traitor to the Greek people, because, you know, the Greek people were murdered and slaughtered and raped for centuries by the Turkish Muslims. And this animal, who is of Greek descent, is supporting the Muslims. He's in effect helping. He's helping and supporting the Muslims just because he hates the Jews. So he's betraying his own people as well. He's so anti-Semitic, he doesn't even care. And now, Yamach Shmota Jobnik writes, two, thoughts on RAF and Japanese Red Army. Okay, RAF is the Red Army faction and the Japanese Red Army. These are two communist terrorist organizations that were very active when I was a teenager and when I was in my 20s, in the 60s and 70s and 80s. You had these communist terrorist organizations that operated in Europe, in Japan, and carried out various murderous acts. They were vicious, murderous cults, and their brainwashed, crazy members engaged in all types of acts of terrorism. The groups no longer really exist. As far as I know, they don't really exist, primarily because communism as an official ideology collapsed, even though we still have communist principles and policies in place in every Western country. Wherever you see government control and government takeover, that's Marxist. But the official regimes of communism, the official communist regimes like the Soviet Union, officially, on an official level, collapsed, and that led to the collapse of these communist terrorist organizations. Thank you, Yamach Shmo, to Jobnik. And we now go to the great wandering samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, thoughts on three billionaires, Ted Turner, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett, unquote. Bill Gates is worth at least $80 billion. He promises to give at least half of it to left-wing causes, along with other multi-billionaires. They signed a pact. They signed this pact saying that they're all going to give at least half of their fortune to these left-wing, politically correct causes, which, of course, is terrible. Let me give you an example of the type of evil that Bill Gates does. And Bill Gates, of course, was with Microsoft. Here's the type of evil that this animal does. He donated $1 billion to give free computers to blacks. Because of the color of their skin. If they're black, give them a free computer. $1 billion worth of free computers to blacks. If you're white, you're the wrong skin color. Only if you're black, you get a free computer. Can you imagine if someone said, I'm giving $1 billion to give free computers only to whites? Can you imagine what would happen to that person? You imagine the hysteria that that would cause? But you're allowed to say, I'm giving $1 billion only to blacks. I'm discriminating only in favor of blacks. That's allowed. Being racist in support of blacks is okay. Being racist against whites, being anti-Semitic, that's okay, that's fine. But if you dare do anything, even if it's not racist, if you dare do anything that blacks or Muslims or Arabs or homosexuals don't like, you're finished. That's the crazy world we live in. And then you ask about Warren Buffett. He's worth probably about $60 billion. He's another anti-religious agnostic, quote-unquote. He also pledged to give at least half of his fortune to these politically correct so-called charities, these left-wing causes. Of course, one thing that he was known for, he raised money for Barack Hussein Obama to help get him elected to the presidency and was a strong supporter of Barack Hussein Obama. Isn't it funny that all these billionaires all support left-wing Democrats? I thought the left-wing Democrats are against the 1%. I thought that they're for the working people. And yet all the billionaires on Wall Street support the left-wing Democrats, support socialism, support more taxes, more government, more bureaucracy. Isn't that strange? You know why? Because the billionaires want to put the middle class out of business. They want to put the small business people out. They want to bankrupt the small businesses. They want to prevent any competition. They want monopoly control over the economy. And big government and government bureaucracy and socialism stifle competition, stifle a free market, stifle the middle class, stifle small business, stifle the entrepreneurs. And that is who Ted Turner and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Zuckerberg and all these other animals, that is who they, that is what they don't want. They don't want a free market. They don't want competition. They don't want to give entrepreneurs and the middle class and working people a real chance. That's why the left is funded by the billionaires. That's why the multi-billionaires who own the news media are so left-wing. But this is something you'll never hear anybody tell you. The only people who tell you that is are the people that you're listening to here at JTF. And thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we now go to the great Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what are your views of that fat, phony Rosie O'Donnell returning to that phony liberal show, The View? Thanks, unquote. Oh, Rosie O'Donnell is so disgusting. Between her and Ellen DeGeneres, those two lesbians, oh, are they disgusting. They're always pushing their lesbianism on everybody. Day and night, that's all they ever speak about. That's all they ever push. That's their agenda. They're just nauseating. And that program, The View, which, by the way, in addition to all the other putrid, left-wing filth that's on that evil, hideous show, it's also an anti-Semitic program. They make anti-Semitic jokes and say things about the Jews that they would never dare say about Arabs or blacks or homosexuals. Never dare, or Muslims. But the Jews, they step all over the Jews on that program, and that self-hating Judenrat capo beast, Baba Wawa, Barbara Walters, she would join in the anti-Semitic jokes, of course. What a hideous program that is. This is what the left is all about. They're pure evil. Pure evil. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we now go to our great friend Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, right now, most Israelis don't have the heart to beat the PLO, unquote. I actually think that most Israelis want to defeat the Hamas terrorists in Gaza. When you say the PLO is are the Fatah terrorists. Most Israelis are not sure yet, are they really the same as Hamas? Because they've been so brainwashed. But the Hamas terrorists in Gaza, most Israelis do want that war. They want to win that war. They agree with us when we say that we shouldn't be giving free electricity, free water, free gas, free food, and billions of dollars in aid to the Hamas terrorists and their supporters in Gaza. Most Israelis agree with us on that. Most Israelis agree with us that we should bomb the living daylights out of them. So if they agree with us on that, I believe they would agree with us on dealing with the terrorists in Judea and Samaria as well. That's where you have the PLO and Fatah terrorists. I don't think that's true. I think most Israelis are ready for that if they thought that there was a realistic, practical alternative that they could turn to. I think that a lot of them would turn to that alternative. That's where we have to grow. That's why we have to grow, and we have to present that alternative to them. We can do it. Rabbi Kahana almost did it. That's why they banned him. They didn't ban him because he represented some minority point of view, some marginal point of view. They banned him because he was on his way to becoming the majority. He was on his way to convincing the Jews of Israel that he was right. And that terrified the establishment politicians. We can also do that if we're just given the chance. If we get the breaks that we need and are given the chance. Remember, I always said, if we only get a break, our message will resonate with a lot of Jews in Israel. Remember, I always said that? We see that happening now. And we have a break, Baruch Hashem, we have a break now with this advertising campaign, but we need a bigger break. We need more financial support so that we could grow much faster. If we do that, then you're going to see some amazing things, God willing. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, and I quote, discuss the English rabbi, quote unquote, who celebrates Ramadan, unquote. Well, any so-called rabbi or any Jew who celebrates Ramadan should drop dead. I mean, to celebrate the holiday of a religion that calls for the extermination of the Jewish people and of all non-Muslim infidels, whose founder, Mohammed, slaughtered every single Jew on the Arabian Peninsula, either slaughtered them or forced them to convert, and slaughtered every other non-Muslim. Every non-Muslim on the Arabian Peninsula. I mean, any Jew who fasts in solidarity with a religion like this, a monstrous religion like this, they should drop dead. They should die of every disease under the sun. This is not a rabbi. This is subhuman Semitic fungus. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, and I quote, "Discuss pro-Arab Tel Aviv traitors," unquote. And here again, you've got self-hating, low-life, sick beasts. And it's not just the ones that hold the demonstrations. They control the news media in Israel. They're most of the politicians in Israel. They're the billionaires of Israel, the billionaire tycoons and titans of Israeli industry. They're self-hating traitors, all of them. They all want to cut deals with all the anti-Semites around the world. The anti-Semites say to them, well, if you want to do that, Israel has to commit suicide. So they want Israel to commit suicide as long as they can make a deal and be accepted. We have to fight them and we have to defeat them. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we now go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "I see posts on Facebook by Jews about pro-Israel Arabs, Israel avoiding enemy civilians, and world leaders supporting Israel. What's self-loathing? Please comment." It's so, absolutely, Dr. Dan, as always, you hit the nail right on the head. Pro-Israel Arabs. 95% of the Arabs vote for Arab parties that openly call for the destruction of Israel, that openly support Hamas and Hezbollah and all the terrorists. 95% of the Arab vote goes to Arab parties that support the Hamas terrorists in the Knesset. Pro-Israel Arabs? Israel avoids enemy civilians. That's true. That's a tragedy. That's the most immoral policy you could possibly have. That's not morality, that's immoral. To spare the evil people so that they could murder the good people? That's the most immoral thing you could do. That's like saying we don't want to hurt the Nazis. It's not moral to hurt the Nazis. Let the Nazis go and murder millions of Jews. You're supposed to hurt the Nazis. You're supposed to kill the Nazis during the Holocaust. I'm supposed to kill Nazis. Nazis should be killed always. You're supposed to be concerned about the kind and the merciful and the good people. Those are the truly innocent people. You're not supposed to be concerned about murdering savage beasts. Murdering savage beasts should get what they want to do to the innocent people. It should happen to them. That's a moral policy. And now Dr. Dan writes about world leaders supporting Israel. Ha! Ha! There's not one country in the world that has its embassy in Jerusalem. They don't even recognize Israel's capital. Israel's the only country on the face of the earth that every nation in the world refuses to recognize her own capital. And Israel's capital is the most legitimate capital of any capital in the world because Israel's capital was given to the Jewish people by God, who created everything in the world. World leaders supporting Israel. The world leaders want Israel to disappear. They want Israel to be destroyed. They're always pressuring Israel to commit suicide. These Jews are delusional. They're self-hating. They're insane. And the antidote is JTF. We are the antidote. If we ever get power, finally the world will see how sane Jews speak and act and operate. That'll be a wonderful day. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to our great friend, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Have you confronted Pastor Manning on his association with that anti-Semite Rudy Davis yet?" Unquote. Well, first of all, Chicago Jew, I wouldn't confront Pastor Manning. Pastor Manning is a very good friend of mine. I don't confront him. He's a very good friend of mine. And when I first saw that you brought this up, and Rudy Davis certainly is a vicious anti-Semite, you're right about that. When I first saw that you brought this up, I knew without a doubt that Pastor Manning had no idea that Rudy Davis was an anti-Semite. Because you notice, Rudy Davis never discusses his anti-Semitic views when he goes to Pastor Manning's events, or when he goes on Pastor Manning's program, or goes on to his events. He never discusses it then. Never. Why doesn't he bring it up then? If it's so important, why doesn't he ever bring it up in front of Pastor Manning? He never does. Pastor Manning was, in fact, informed about this and had no idea. Had no idea. So, I want you to know, Chicago Jew, you were right. I'm glad you brought it to our attention. I appreciate that. And Pastor Manning now has been informed about the anti-Semite Rudy Davis. Absolutely. Thank you, Chicago Jew. I wish, Chicago Jew, I wish the Jews were as pro-Israel as Pastor Manning. If the Jews were as pro-Israel as Pastor Manning, the Messiah would come already. First of all, I'd be prime minister. Pastor Manning has told me that he would love to see, that he wants to see me as prime minister of Israel. He would vote for me to be prime minister of Israel. He's told me this. So I'd be prime minister now if the Jews were as pro-Israel as Pastor Manning. Can you imagine what would happen to Hamas if Chaim ben Pesach were prime minister? Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we now go to the great Dan ben Noach HaTzadik, the saint. The great Dan ben Noach. Dan ben Noach is most responsible for the growth in our English language movement. Dan ben Noach gives us hundreds of shares on hundreds of pages when we put up our English videos. And Dan ben Noach has put up so many hundreds and hundreds of great posts on our forum. He comments and responds to every single video, to everything we do. I can't even begin to describe what a great example Dan ben Noach sets for all of us. Really, Dan ben Noach is the example of what an activist is, of what a JTF activist is all about. Dan ben Noach writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what are the halachic parameters, if any, for the type of zealotry sanctioned in Parashat Pinchas?" Unquote. Okay, great question. First of all, to remind the people, Parashat Balak and Parashat Pinchas, these are parashiot, these are Torah portions that deal with the situation that led to Pinchas killing Zimri. Let me give a little bit of background on this. Bilam was an evil prophet. God gave the evil nations of Canaan and the evil nations in the land of Israel in general a prophet, because he didn't want these evil nations to use the excuse, well, you know, the Jews had Moses, they had a great prophet, so what do you expect? Of course we're going to be evil. We didn't have a prophet like Moses. So God gave them a prophet. He gave them a prophet who had on many levels, the same level of prophetic power that Moses had. Tremendous prophetic power. But even prophets have free will, and Bilam was evil, just like the nations that he represented, he was evil. And so the king of Moab, Balak comes to Bilam and says, "I want you to curse Israel." and Bil'am wants to do it, and three times tries to do it, but God turns all of Bil'am's curses into blessings. And finally, at the end, so Balak was very angry and said, I've given you, you know, I gave you all of this money and I gave you all these other things, and this is what you do. You wind up blessing them. I wanted you to curse them. You wind up blessing them. And Bil'am told him, there's nothing I can do when I'm speaking prophetically. I have to say, I have no choice. I have to say what God tells me to say. I can't do anything else. But Bil'am gave Balak and the Moabites a tip. He said, I will give you a tip on how to destroy Israel, on how to curse Israel. Get Israel to sin. If you get Israel to commit sin, God will punish them. That's the way you bring Israel down. Get them to sin. You can't defeat them by trying to curse them. You can't defeat them by going to war against them, because God will protect them and God defends them. God loves them. The only way you can defeat them is to get them to sin. Create a barrier between them and God. That's how you bring them down. And so Balak put together a scheme, taking Bilam's advice, where he got the Moabite women, the most beautiful women among the Moabites, and he got them to tempt the Jews to commit sin. What they did is they set up stores where they were selling fabrics and clothing. They set up stores so that the Jews could go and shop. And on the outside of the store was an old lady sitting on the store, an old Moabite lady. So the Jews figured, oh, there's no problem here with sin or any temptation here. This is an old lady. We're not going to be tempted to do anything. They had an old lady on the outside. But once they went inside the store, they met the most beautiful women in the Moabite nation, who deliberately tempted them. And after tempting, and when they tempted them, they would say, but before we do what you want to do, which, in other words, engage in sexual activity, before we do this, you have to perform this act or that act. This is just a custom we have. And the Jews didn't even know that custom was part of idolatry. So they got the Jews starting, the Jews who committed sin with them, who were fornicating with them and committing sin with them, they got the Jews also to carry out acts of idolatry. And so God, of course, started to punish the Jewish people. 24,000 were killed in a plague. God started a plague. And 24,000 were killed. And then the head of the tribe of Shimon, Zimri, comes along. Nesi Zimri, which means like the prince or the head of the tribe. Nesi Zimri decides that the best way to deal with this is, instead of going to the stores and committing sins there, let's bring them among the people of Israel. Let's actually bring them into the camp. Let's bring the Moabite women into the camp, and we'll have these sexual activities and we'll marry them and everything else within the camp. This way, at least we could prevent idolatry or we could control what's going on. That's what Zimri decided to do, and of course this is a terrible sin. So Zimri brings a Moabite woman into the camp and brings her before Moses and brings her before the elders of Israel and lets all of Israel know that he's committing this sinful behavior in his tent with this Moabite woman. And so a plague rages, and 24,000 of the children of Israel die in the plague, until Pinchas decides he can no longer bear this. He can no longer bear to witness this. And so he goes and kills Zimri and kills the Moabite woman that was with Zimri. And God blesses Pinchas for this. God stops the plague. because of this act of zealousness from Pinchas, and blesses Pinchas for being zealous for God's name's sake, and blesses Pinchas's seed for all generations. They're part of the priesthood now. He turns Pinchas into a high priest and makes them part of the priesthood because of his zealousness for God's namesake. Now, after having told all this background in the story, Dan ben Noach asked the excellent question, so what type of zealotry according to halacha? Halacha is Jewish law. In accordance with halacha, what type of zealotry is sanctioned? The answer is obviously if there's an immediate threat to the Jewish people, if someone poses a threat to the Jewish people, under the laws of under Jewish law, it's permitted to engage in a zealous act and deal with that immediate threat to the Jewish people. Also, a leader who engages in forbidden sexual relations with the enemy and encourages sin among the Jewish people. That's something else Zimri did. So obviously, we see a situation here where when you have leaders who are engaging in forbidden sexual behavior, intermarrying, for instance, and when you have leaders who are causing sin among the Jewish people, and when you have leaders who are creating a situation where Jews are losing their lives, then the zealotry is halachically sanctioned. Now, rabbis will twist themselves into a pretzel in this generation to try to explain why. No, but you have to have the proper, to be a true zealot, to be a true kanai, you have to have the proper frame of mind, and you can't have any personal vendetta against anybody, and all these other excuses to desperately, because they're so worried that somebody is going to wind up doing something. They're so worried that Jews are going to become zealots and are going to actually kill the traitors among the Jewish people. They're so worried about that. Now, of course, we're a law-abiding organization. We don't advocate anything illegal, and we will continue to be a law-abiding organization. So we're not discussing what we advocate. But according to under Jewish law, this is just a matter of fact that under halacha, zealous action against traitor leaders who endanger the Jewish people, or who are betraying the Jewish people, or who cause the Jewish people to sin, zealous action against them is praised under halacha. That's just a fact. That doesn't mean that we're encouraging that. It doesn't mean that we're telling Jews to do something that's going to cause them to go to prison for the rest of their life. We're not encouraging it. We're a law-abiding organization. But if you ask what the halacha is, that's the halacha. The halacha is that when you have a leader, or when you have Jews, not just the leader, Jews that are endangering Jews, Jews that are causing Jews to sin, Jews that are helping the enemy and doing the type of things that Zimri did, we see what is praised in the Torah. Thank you, Dan ben Noach. And we now go to our great friend Papercut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, please compare Christian-Jewish beliefs regarding Noah's sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Expose British Israelism and Black Hebrews re-Khazar theory, unquote. Okay? Shem, there were three. Noah had three sons. One was Shem. From Shem comes Hashemim. Hashemim means the Semites. And eventually from the Semites, of course, came the Jews, came the Hebrews, and then the Jewish people. So they come from Shem. The other son is Ham. In Hebrew, it's Ham. Ham are the Africans, the ancient Egyptians, the Canaanites. They all came from Ham, which is not viewed very favorably in the Bible. In fact, they're actually cursed. There are actually curses against those nations and peoples in the Bible. And then the third son is, now I don't know in English if I'm pronouncing it right, Japheth. In Hebrew, it's Yefet. In the Bible and in the Torah, it's Yefet. Yefet basically refers to areas like today would be called Turkey and other Asian and European nations and tribes eventually came from Yefet. So obviously the human race is divided up into certain categories. Each one symbolizes many different things. The Jewish people, though, come originally from Shem. Now, Papercut writes, expose British Israelism and Black Hebrews, Khazar theory. Well, you know, a small elite group of the Khazars were a nation in what is today, in what was the Soviet Union, the Southern Republics, the southern part. The Khazars had a nation there. And a small group among the elite of the Khazars, not among the population in general, never converted to Judaism, but a small group among the elite did decide to convert to Judaism. And that number is a very small minority among the Jewish people. Now, in Judaism, when you convert to the Jewish religion, you're a Jew. Even if you didn't come from the Jewish people originally, when you convert to Judaism, you become a Jew. So the Khazars, that group of Khazars who converted, they're Jews. They are Jews in every respect. Just like we see with converts in the Torah, like Yitro and other converts. King David came from converts. Ruth, Hamoaviyah. Ruth was a Moabite. Ruth was a convert. Ruth. She converted. And from her came King David and the lineage to the Messiah. So converts are Jewish, are Jews. In fact, in the Torah, we have 613 commandments. They're called Tariag HaMitzvot, the 613 Torah commandments. We have a commandment about how you're supposed to love the Jews, are supposed to love their fellow Jews. That's one of the 613 commandments. There are two commandments on loving the convert. Two commandments. First you have to love the convert because the convert becomes a Jew. So that's one. The same as with all other Jews. And there's a special commandment on loving converts. So, for converts, there are actually two mitzvot. There are actually two commandments. Double the amount of commandments on loving converts as loving Jews who didn't come from conversion. Because converts are volunteers. They weren't born into the religion. They're people who decided to join the religion courageously, against all odds, deciding to join a very unpopular and hated people and a persecuted people. And that is something that is greatly admired and respected by the Torah and by God. And so, the Khazars who converted are Jews. But the people in these movements that you refer, British Israelism and Black Hebrews, to them everything is racial. Because they're idiots. They're complete idiots. We have Jews of all races. So first of all, the fact that they want to put racial limitations on who can be Jewish is nonsense. Secondly, although there is a Jewish people, the fact is the number of Khazars who converted is very small compared to the overall number of the Jewish people worldwide. A very tiny, tiny minority of the Jewish people originally were part of the Khazar elite that converted because not many Khazars converted. But they came up with this theory because they want to say that the Jews of today are not real Jews. And they come up with this, the tribe of Dan is Denmark. Why? Because they both begin with D. I mean, just the nonsense they come up with. And the Black Hebrews, I don't have to tell you how silly these primitive pieces of garbage, how silly their theories are. The fact is the Jewish people, the Jews of today, are the ones who return to the land of Israel, who are fulfilling biblical prophecy. You have to be blind not to see this. And God will curse and destroy anyone who goes against the Jewish people, who goes against the Jews of today. The Jews of today are the Jewish people of God, and there is an eternal covenant with them. And that covenant is being fulfilled every day in the land of Israel. All of these other cults that say they're the real Jews, then they weren't returned to the land of Israel. They weren't brought back after 2,000 years of exile. They didn't turn the desert into a garden. They didn't beat back enemies who outnumbered them 100-1 in six-day wars. They didn't win, even though their own leaders are traitors, in unbelievably miraculous circumstances. They aren't part of a nation that, just as the Bible says, is completely isolated. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. They're not part of the nation that is completely isolated, hated by all nations. They're not part of that process. They're anti-Semites, and they're filled with jealousy. And jealousy and hatred toward the Jewish people brings destruction. God doesn't tolerate it. There's no question as to who the Jewish people are. You see the people that survived all these years miraculously. What unbelievable odds survived for thousands of years under the circumstances that the Jews had to survive under? And then come back to their land 2,000 years later and win, outnumbered 100-1 in six-day wars, and all the other fulfillment of prophecy we see? The desolate city shall become habitable again. Five of ye shall put 100 of them to flight. 10 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight. I mean, all the things we see happening, and you have people who question whether the Jews who returned are the real Jews? I mean, how could anybody have any doubt at all? You have to be completely crazy. And these people are crazy. Thank you, Paper Cut. All right, let me just check something here. Okay. Oh, this is a long show. I knew this was going to be a long show, but this is really going on long. Okay. We now go to the great Kahana loyalist who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim. Have you ever approached Jack Englehart, the author, about funding JTF? He has moved ever further to the right over the years, unquote. Kahana loyalist, I am embarrassed to tell you I do not remember who Jack Englehart is. It sounds familiar, but I don't remember who it is. I don't know who he is. So I have never approached him, no. Of course, I'm in favor of approaching anybody who could help us. But I have never approached him because I don't remember who he is. It sounds familiar, but I don't remember who he is. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And we now go to our great friend Manch, who writes, I yell to the world that I'm going to fight Mike Tyson. Then I get my nose bloody by a local welterweight street punk. How serious is Mike Tyson going to take me? Unquote. Obviously, Mike Tyson would not be afraid to fight you if that was the case. I'm not sure, Manch, that I understand the point you're making. Is this in relation to Israel or relation to... I'm not sure exactly what point you're making here, though. I apologize, but this is a little too deep for me. But maybe if you can explain what point you're actually making here... I'm sure there's a good point here, Manch, because you do make very good points, and Manch is indeed one of our great members. But I'm not sure what the point is. Thank you, Manch. So if you could explain it, you know, we'll of course we'll be happy to discuss it further. Thank you, Manch, and we now go to Our great friend Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, what do you think of Eric Holder? Thank you. Eric Holder, of course, is the Attorney General of the United States. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. He is a black racist hater of whites, a Jew hater, a vicious, evil piece of Obamaite garbage who has perverted justice. He's supposed to be the head of the Justice Department. It's the Department of Injustice. He has perverted all justice. And he and Obama are trying to turn the United States into a dictatorship where Obama issues executive orders and he, as the Attorney General, defends all of Obama's actions. He does not prosecute truly bad people. He lets them off the hook. Look what he did with the IRS scandal. Look what he did with all the scandals. All these people, the whole Obama administration should be in prison, including Eric Holder, if there was real justice. They're all criminals. I mean, look at the scandals and the cover-ups and all the, I mean, all the things this government has done under Obama. And Eric Holder is there to give them license to steal, to rip up the Constitution, to violate people's rights, to do everything evil under the sun. So I consider Eric Holder to be the ultimate example of evil. Thank you, Kalman Ben Menachem. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, please discuss the firing of MK Knesset member Danny Danon as Israeli Deputy Defense Minister and your overall thoughts about Danny Danon as an MK, unquote. Well, he was fired because he said that he thought there was a ceasefire that Netanyahu agreed to give the Hamas terrorists more supplies, and he said it was a mistake. So Netanyahu fired him. It shows what a pathetic disaster Netanyahu is. He fires someone for saying that was a mistake. That's too, you're not allowed to say that was a mistake. He fired him for it. And Danny Danon actually happens to be a phony. I mean, he supported and voted with Netanyahu. He voted with Netanyahu. All the things Netanyahu's been doing. You don't hear Danny Danon complaining about for years Netanyahu has frozen Jewish settlements and only has an anti-Semitic freeze on all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Has Danny Danon made any fuss over that or complained about that? Never. The fact that Iran is so close to building nuclear bombs because that wimp Netanyahu hasn't been willing to take out their nuclear terrorist bomb-making program. Has Danny Danon complained about that? No. He says that we have to act against Iran. We have to act. Meanwhile, does he do anything? Does he do anything about it? Does he say that why isn't Netanyahu acting? What's going on here? What is this? This is insane. This is reckless. You're endangering the whole Jewish people. No, nothing. He continued to vote with and support Netanyahu. He happened to say that he thought the ceasefire with Hamas was a mistake. And for that he was fired. So even a phony like Danny Danon, who is a phony and an opportunist, as the Likudnik, I mean the Likud people are all phonies and opportunists, even he is too much for Netanyahu. Thank you, EB. And we now go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, comment on Vice News and on the Young Turks. Also RT News, which is Russia, I think it's Russia Today. Who is the worst, unquote. Oh, they're all horrible. They're very anti-Semitic, left-wing, evil, completely evil. All of them, all three. I think Russia Today is probably the worst because they represent Putin. They're puppets of Putin and they're his propaganda arm. So they do the most harm. They get out the most. They do the most harm. They get out the most misinformation. So I think they're probably the worst. But all three are terrible, absolutely terrible. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And we now go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, You mentioned how the Histadrut and government ownership hinder the development of rail travel. In the U.S., private rail lines went bankrupt and all passenger rail is now government run. How could the current rail system in the U.S. be privatized? The current system also has the usual labor union and affirmative action problems. Trains in Europe and Japan are light years ahead with bullet trains. In the U.S., Amtrak's Acela Express is the closest there, but it's still very expensive and it's actually cheaper to fly on an airplane for that same route and also faster, unquote. I want there to be a strong rail system because it means that we use less energy. And the less energy we use, the less money goes to the Muslim terrorists, because the Muslim terrorists make money when we use fuel. When we use oil and gas and fuel, it helps the Muslim terrorists. So for that reason, I always wanted Amtrak and the rail system to be successful. But if it cannot stand on its own, you can't force taxpayers to subsidize this. Either they can be competitive and stand on their own, and they have workers who are willing to take reasonable wages and reasonable pensions. If not, then there's nothing we can do. You can't force the taxpayers to subsidize this. The billions of dollars being spent subsidizing the rail system can be put into research, can be put into all types of research on how to develop alternatives to oil. That would be better spending the money. If there's a way for Amtrak and the rail system to become competitive and to survive and stand on their own two feet, I'm all for it, and I want them to succeed. I really want them to succeed. But if not, then we can't force the taxpayers to subsidize something that just can't stand on its own. Thank you, Binyamin. And we now go to our great friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of Republican candidate for U.S. Senate Nebraska, Ben Sass, and would you support him for president in 2016, unquote. I never hear him say anything about Israel, by the way. And a candidate for the U.S. Senate is supposed to speak about that. He speaks about foreign policy, but he never mentions Israel. And if you go to his website, because when he was running, as the Tea Party, you know, when the Tea Party issue came up, I checked the candidates running for the U.S. Senate in Nebraska. He already won the Republican primary, but at the time I checked, and at the time, I don't know now, but at the time when he was running in the primary, there was not one mention. He mentioned so many different issues, but Israel not mentioned anywhere. As far as I'm concerned, that's pretty bad. No, I would not support him for president. We support Ted Cruz. And I'm not impressed with this guy. I mean, Nebraska's a state, with many, many evangelical Christians. Why can't you mention Israel? What's wrong with speaking about Israel? I mean, he runs away from it like it's the plague. At least that's what I saw when I checked, you know, when just before the Republican primary they had out there. I haven't checked it in several weeks, but the last time I went to his website, Israel was nowhere to be found. Thank you, Maimonides. And we now go to our great friend Christians for Jews, who writes, and I quote, YouTube is now having so-called Gaza charity adverts at the beginning of many popular videos. Can you do a video exposing this biased media reporting, unquote. I haven't seen that, but I wouldn't be surprised at all. Look, who are the main two people behind YouTube? It's been gobbled up now by Google. Google has bought YouTube, and Google was founded by two self-hating Jews. There is no enemy of the Jewish people worse than the self-hating Jews. This is why we're against Jewish politicians. This is why we urge people never vote for the Jewish politician. This is why we don't like Jewish billionaires. Because we know. We know what Jews, when they're in positions of power, what they almost always wind up doing to their own people. Almost always. And this isn't, YouTube is an example. Google is an example. Facebook is an example. They're all examples. We see the bias against Israel and against the Jews from sites that are controlled by Jews. Thank you, Christians for Jews. And now we go to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, Shalom. describe the Arab Shoah in Israel, God forbid, and how it can be avoided, unquote. Well, Shoah means Holocaust. God forbid. Obviously, God forbid, we don't want to see a Holocaust. What Israel has to do, of course, is destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That's a threat of a Holocaust right there. Israel has to encourage the Arabs to leave the land of Israel. Israel has to kill Arab terrorists. If someone is an Arab terrorist, they should be killed. You don't negotiate with Arab terrorists. You don't have ceasefires with Arab terrorists. You don't give free electricity and free water and free food to Arab terrorists like Netanyahu does. You kill Arab terrorists. Israel should kill the Arab terrorists, encourage the millions of Arabs who live there to leave with compensation, destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, and give Jewish values and Jewish education to the Jews of Israel. If Israel did that, we could turn Israel into a paradise. And that is what we would do if we took power. The best way to help bring those things about and create an awareness among the Jewish people that this is what has to be done and promote that platform, of course, is by supporting our movement. LKZ now writes, should one focus on condemning leftists or helping them become sane, unquote? It depends. Leftist leaders should be condemned because they're encouraging large numbers of people to do evil. They have to be fought, they have to be condemned, they're hurting and damaging people, and they should be stopped. And so they should be condemned. Individual leftists that you meet, or people that are confused or wrong, it depends. Sometimes you have people who are just evil and don't want to hear the truth and are just malicious. Those people, of course, have to be fought against. On the other hand, sometimes you have people that are just brainwashed and misinformed, and when you bring them the truth, they change. They're willing to change. You have to judge it on a case-by-case basis. You got to make a judgment call. All of us have to make judgment calls when we come across people, when we meet people on the internet, or when we meet people in our lives. We got to make judgment calls on a case-by-case basis. Thank you, LKZ. And we now go to our great friend, Russian Leo 777, who writes, I was literally sick to my stomach when I found out that the IDF facilitated the transfer of approximately 20 tons of medical supplies into Gaza. Insanity, unquote. Absolutely, Russian Leo. And you know, we've done several Hebrew videos in a row on this subject already. And you are 100% correct. It's just insane. Absolutely insane. You're completely correct. Thank you, Russian Leo. And we now go to the great Confederate Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what is your opinion of BRICS? Should we separate ourselves from them with BRICS? Thanks and God bless. Unquote. And BRICS is spelled the B-R-I-C-S. That's the term. There's a term called BRICS. And Confederate Kahanist is saying, should we separate themselves with BRICS? BRICS meaning the type of bricks you use to build a building. Okay. Great question. First of all, let me try to remember now. BRICS, I know, stand for countries, a group of countries that have gotten together and supposedly are creating a new economy and trading with each other. BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Okay, that wasn't that hard. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Okay. Should we separate ourselves from them? If these countries try to bring immigrants into the United States, if we have immigrants from Brazil, and if we have immigrants from third world countries in general, the United States is being overwhelmed. The United States has to have a moratorium on any further immigration, legal immigration. There should be a moratorium on legal immigration, and all illegal immigration, all illegal aliens should be thrown out of the country. So if we're talking about immigrants, that's my opinion. My opinion is we should have a moratorium on all legal immigration, and we should throw out all the illegal aliens, deport all the illegal aliens, all 20 million, yes, round them up, yes, deport them in mass, yes. And no, it will not be bad for the economy. Oh, certain sectors of the economy will hurt temporarily for a brief time, but the overall effect on the economy will be very positive. Very positive. They are not good for the economy. They hurt the economy. So certainly in the long term, it'll be very healthy and very good for America if we deport millions of illegal aliens. As far as other aspects of these countries, you know, there are things that some of these countries do that endanger us. And when they do, we have to respond. Russia is helping Iran build nuclear bombs. So is China also helped Iran build nuclear bombs. And we have to oppose them because of that policy. Brazil supports Brazil and Venezuela and some of these other countries. They support Iran and they support evil policies. They support evil third world policies. India has a new leader, a new prime minister. Let's hope that this new prime minister changes India's policy, because before India's policy was terrible. Let's hope that the new prime minister changes things for the better. And South Africa is just a dump, is just an evil dump. The further we stay away from them, the better. That's my opinion anyway. Thank you, Confederate Kahanist, and I want to thank everybody for another program I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.